Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath to you.
Good morning, happy Sabbath.
I know a lot of members who are here or who are not here right now, but, you know, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Elder Alex Andrews. I am from the Friendship Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I've come here many times. So I'm just going to read the scripture reading, then I'm going to get right into prayer, and then I'm going to get into the message. Is that all right? All right, now the scripture reading, I'm going to read a little bit more. Okay, so it's found in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, but I will go to verse 10. And it reads, For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. It says here, above all people that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any of the other people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because the Lord will keep an oath which he had sworn to you unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, a bondman, from the land of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know that therefore that the Lord thy God, he is a God, the faithful God, it says, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The sermon is entitled Chosen. Okay, please stay with me. I'm going to be brief. Well, I'm not going to be too brief, but I want to give you a message that the Lord has laid upon me. Now, again, as I've said, I know a few of you, but I don't know many of you. And I know that you don't know me, and I just want to say that if you don't know that I can preach a sermon, I can't prove it to you in this one time that I can speak. But I guarantee you, I will give you a word from the Lord. Amen? Amen. I promise you that I will do that. See, my subject is entitled Chosen today. Okay? So I'm going to pray. Lord, Father, please be with all of your members here and everywhere that they have joined in the churches. Father, but be with us here today. May your Holy Spirit fall on us, Father. Fall upon us, fall upon our minds, that we may know, Father, what you want to tell us here today. I thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the traveling mercies, for the many people who have come near and far, dear Lord. And I ask that you would sit me down, dear Lord, so that you may stand up and speak to your brethren and your people here today, dear Lord. I thank you. Watch over my family as well. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Excuse me. Okay, so the subject is entitled Chosen. Now listen to me. The first part of my sermons, I like to teach, if that's okay. And I like to try to teach. And I want to tell you something. You know, that word chosen appears in the Bible 123 times. Did you know that? And 90 of those times, 90, it addresses the people of God, God's people. It talks to. God wants us to know something here today. You see, in the ecclesiastical word, the word chosen deals with God's church. Did you hear me here today? It deals with God's church. That's us. It deals with us. You see, so I want to unpack this word or speak to you about this word. You see, and the first time it appears is in our scripture reading, that it says that God has chosen us. So in the scriptures, you did bring your Bibles, I do hope, and I want to read it to you. It says, For this God amazes me. Okay, listen to me. It says, for this God amazes me. God says to us, for you and me are a holy people. Amen. But have we truly inspected ourselves throughout the week, throughout our years? That we've been with God and when we haven't been with God? Have we truly inspected who we are as people? Do we really think or do we really seem to be holy people? That's a rhetorical question. That is not something you have to answer. But within your heart and within your mind, ask yourself that question. Am I really a holy person? Are you with me here today? You see, have you looked at yourself lately? Have you looked into the world today? Do you see holy people in this world? See, and so I'm trying to get you to understand early in the sermon that chosen or being chosen has nothing to do with you and me, my brothers and sisters. It has to do with God's idea of us being chosen by Him. Please stay with me. You see, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. You see, for you are holy people. So that means that there's also a qualification. You see, there's also a qualification, which makes it even more ridiculous. You see, for you are holy people, so it makes no difference. Listen to me, please, here today. It makes no difference how anybody sees you, how I see you, how you see, how people see you. God says you and me are holy people. And that's amazing. You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what you say about me. It doesn't matter how you feel about me. For God has said, hey, you guys are a holy people. You see, so it doesn't matter how you really are. You see, but to the Lord, you are a holy people. See, so our status in heaven doesn't really have to do with how anybody sees us. Our status in heaven has to do with how God sees me and you. I hope you're with me here today. And that's going to become plainer as we go through the sermon. God loves to show his people how much, even though we're undeserving, how much he loves us. You see, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people unto himself. And then he gets a little more gooey with it. He gets a little more mushy about it. He says, for you are a peculiar people, a special treasure, he says. I want you to turn to your neighbor, if you have one, or look to the back, and says, hey, say, hey, I'm special. You can do that. Say, I'm special. But remember, you're only special in God's hands. Are you with me here today? You're only special in the hands of God. You see, and you are special in his hands. Now I want you to celebrate with me that even though we do things in our life that are not pleasing, even to other people, and even to God, he still deems us as being a special treasure to him. It could just be me. Maybe Alex is the only one who's done things that are not truly good. But God still calls me his special treasure. And that is something to celebrate. See, and God wants us to know that we're special. You see, he wants us to know that in God's mind that we're special to him. Now, I want to get into the sermon. Now, the Hebrew word there is called kid, K-Y-D. All right? Which means to be a precious stone. In other words, God is saying to you and me, my brothers and sisters, that you are a special stone. You are a special treasure to me. To be chosen by God is not just to be special. It's not just to be precious. It's to be chosen by God. Isn't that wonderful? Another word there is called kedon. Now here's where I'm going to catch you. Kedon is to be, or it's translated in the Hebrew as a javelin. Are you with me here? So, a javelin. Now, I don't know if you people have watched the Olympics or if you watch a javelin thrower, but understand, oh, please pay attention to me. Understand that a javelin thrower, he has to focus. He has to focus on his target. Are you listening to me here today? He has to focus on this target. So what God is saying to you and me here today, my brothers and sisters, despite what you've been through, despite who you were, despite who you are right now, I'm focused in on you. I'm going to throw my javelin of love at you to attract you to come to me. Oh, You see, God has focused in on you and me, my brothers and sisters. You see, and to be chosen, it's not by accident. God didn't choose us by accident. He chose us because he loves us. Are you with me here today? He chose us because he knew Elder Alex. He knew that to make me a preacher of his word would make me focus in more on him. You see, now the Greek is even more rich when unpacking the word chosen. You see, the word there is oresko. So oresko, it means to be pleasing. Now, John 6:70 says this. Now, I have chosen you disciples, the 12 of you, but one of you is the devil. Are you listening to me here today? I have chosen you 12, but out of the 12 of you, one of you is the devil. So wait a minute. Alex, are you preaching the right to sermon? God chose one who was the devil. Are you listening to me here today? He chose one who was the devil. You see, God knows what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. You see, in the Greek, you're acceptable. More than that, God actually knows who you really are. Wow. You see, and he has tested you and know that you fail miserably. Am I talking to somebody here today? He knows that you fail miserably all the time. But still, in spite of that, he has chosen you anyway. You see, but you're chosen. So God knows that Alex is a mess. He knows that I don't have my stuff together. He knows these things, but he still manages to choose me. Huh. Oh, my goodness. If I could get an amen in the house, it would do me good. You see, it would really do me well. The Holy Ghost wants you and me to know that we're chosen, though, despite what we've done. And here it is, in this day and time, and the things that we're going through with the coronavirus, with deaths in our families, God wants us to know that we have to set aside time for him. We have to be pleasing in his sight, always. We have to remember that we are precious to God. We have to remember that we are excessive to God. We have to know that we are focused on by God. Are you listening to me here today? God wants us to know that he has focused in on us. And here it is. He has tested us, and he knows that we fail miserably, but we're still chosen anyhow. See, so let us summarize. To be chosen is to be precious. To be chosen is to be precious. To be chosen is to be focused on. To be chosen on is to be acceptable. To be chosen is to be tested and failing anyhow. So let's get back to the text in John 6:70. He says, I have chosen you twelve, but one of you is the devil. See, I can't speak for all of you out there, but I can speak for me. When I first came to the church, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't even know who God was. See, so I can summarize that I was a devil too, because I didn't know any better. I was in darkness. Right? I mean, let's be truthful here. You know, I was in darkness. I didn't know anything about God's marvelous light, but still he has brought me from a land in New York City to know that if I can trust in him and believe in him and lean on him, not on my own understanding, but lean on God, he will bring me to a point where I can understand who he is and what he's about. And that's worthy of all things. I hope you're here with me today. You see, and then there's another one, to be selected. He says, I have selected you. Then there's another word. You see how good God is? He didn't say, okay, selected is good. I prefer you. Do you know what it's like to be preferred? God says, I prefer your worship. I prefer your prayers. I prefer your devotion to me. Alex, who is unworthy of all things, he prefers me. He prefers you to give devotion, to love him for who he is. I don't know where you are today in your life, but he prefers us. You see, and then in Deuteronomy 7:7 it says, the Lord did not set his love on you because you were special. I mean, he didn't set his love on you because you were more in number, more than all the people, for you were least of all the people. You see that? It says in verse 8, I'm still in Deuteronomy. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. He is the faithful God. Are you listening to me here today? He is the faithful God. Do you know what it's like for somebody to be faithful even when you know the other person may not be? God is faithful to us even when we do things that is not pleasing in his sight. I didn't say that. His Bible says that. Are you with me here today? You see, God has done this for us. And here it is. If God wasn't who he said he was, understand that Israelites had wandered, had complained, had did all of these things for many years in the time that God was talking to them. And if there was anybody who God should have turned his back on, it should have been them. You see that? They were murmuring, they were complaining. God said when they went into the land, don't do the things that these people do. Continue to follow what I tell you to do, and you will be fine. But did they do that? No. But God still helped them out. Anyway, I'm just trying to get you to see that this character of God, he loves us despite anything. He loves us even when we're in our messiest of places. You see, he's so locked in on you and me, my brothers and sisters, that he wants us to know that he truly loves us. And I don't know if all of you are getting that here today, but you see, there are people that we think when we see them drunk on the corner, God doesn't really care about them. He actually cares about them. You see that? The people who are on drugs in this city, real bad, you say, oh man, there's no hope for him. God sees hope for them. Are you with me here today? You see, the people that we look and we think and we say, oh, that person is, oh, they're horrible, they're disgusting. God still has love for them. You see, because they murmured against him, but he's always locked in on you and me as a people. You see, so, I could be taking his tithes and spending his money, but he's still locked in on me. I could be going out to the bars and the drunk and trying to be drunk. He's still locked in on me. Yeah. And am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing at the time? No, but he's still locked in on me. See, our perception of being chosen is being challenged here today. You see, because we think when somebody's chosen, they're the best people to choose, they're the best ones to have and on our side. No. God is showing us here today that when I choose you, doesn't matter where you're from, where you've been, I love you enough to say I know that my spirit and my word can have you and bring you out of the place of darkness. You see that? A lot of us were in darkness, and he brought us to the marvelous light. See, we may not want to remember those times, but those are the times that God is trying to remind us to think about. See, and that's how Christians relate to other people. See, when we were in darkness, we needed somebody to show us the light. Amen? Right? But when somebody else is in darkness, we're like, oh, well, I hope God helps them out and works on them. No, that's our job, to give them a little word, to tell them about God, especially in these times where people are losing faith, they're losing trust. You can't even trust a leader. God is trying to show us, no man is your leader. I am your leader. Are you with me here today? You see, and God says to them in Deuteronomy 9, verse 4, don't think that because you have this gift that I've given you, that it's because of you that I've allowed you to come into the land. Deuteronomy 9, 4. He says, don't think that I've allowed you to take over this land because of your righteousness. Don't think that I've allowed you to do this because, you know, you're a special people of mine. I've done this because of the wickedness of this nation. Are you with me here today? You see, we think a lot of times that God allows us to have dominion over things because of our specialness. No, it's because of the world's wickedness. Huh? The world's wickedness. He has allowed us to come into the land and try to foster it until he can make his will be done in there. Huh? That's something to think about. You see, if God was to look at us, right? He looks at us, and I'm talking about when we're in our terrible state. He looks down into the barrel of sin and disgust, and he swoops it up. And you know, if it was us, we would say, I don't know what I would do with this. But God says, ha, I can work with this. Oh, I didn't get an amen out there. God says, I can work with this mess. This is a mess. It's a bunch of slush. But watch me work it and make it into something marvelous. Something worthwhile. Something worth talking about. God says, I can do that. I work. I'm the professor of working with nothing and making it something. Are you with me here today? You see, God says, I speak to a world that's dark and void, and then I shut my mouth, and there's a world to be lived on. There's a world full of stars and lights and clouds and sun that people can live on. Oh, man. You see, when I first started, and you guys knew me from, some of you knew me from when I first started, I used to think, and here it is, my confession, I used to think that, you know, God needed me. I used to think, and that's an arrogant statement, I used to think that because I was fresh off not knowing anything. I used to think that God needed me, but the truth is God doesn't need anything from Alex Andrews. He doesn't need anything from me, but I need everything from him. Are you with me here today? You see, I need him. He doesn't need me. You see, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. This idea of being chosen is really something, because as people we think the opposite, but God shows us this is the way I think. This is how I feel about my people. Even when they don't seem pleasing in your sight, I'm still pleased in my sight for them, because I see the potential that they can have. Are you with me here today? Oh my goodness. You see, God doesn't need anything from me, but I need everything from God. You see, because can I be honest again? I'm proud, I'm stuck up, I'm determined to do what I want to do. And God knows it, and he still chose me anyhow. Yes, amen. Because had God left me to my own destruction, I would probably have been destroyed a long time ago. But God says, I see this brother, I see this brown skinned brother, I'm going to slap him with the Bible, and I'm going to make him preach it, and I'm going to break it where I work on him, and he's going to be just fine if he relies and trusts in me. Are you with me here today? You see, and understand, it's not, I don't know the titles here, but if you're an elder, a pastor, a deacon, whatever you are, the reason God has made you that is because of your hard-headedness. Oh, I didn't get an amen there. You see that? The reason why God made Alex an elder is because I would never pay attention to him any other way. He made me read his word. He made me desire to want to read his word. And that's what happens when you become a born-again Christian. It doesn't make sense to you, but you desire to want to read his word, desire to want to hear his word, desire to want to do his will. You see that? You see? And so this word chosen is actually something. You know, God specializes in taking the nobody and making them somebody. Oh, man. You see, he takes the garbage of this world. What did I say? He takes the garbage of this world. And he makes it his own and polishes it up. And when it's done, what a marvelous work God has done. Are you with me here today? You see, what's so special about this word is that when you look at Philippians 2, understand, I don't know if you understand who God is, but he is a holy God. When he comes up in heaven, the angels veil their face with their wings. The angels hide from his countenance, because he is a holy God. Are you with me here today? And we cannot take him for granted. We cannot take God for granted, because he has made us to be special. And if we're special, we're special to him. Are you with me here today? You see, and he identifies with us in Philippians 2. He doesn't see it a crime to be related to say, I like this person. No, he says, I love him so much, I'm going to be right there with him. Right? Isn't that what the brother was talking about? I'm going to be right there with him. I love them so much, I'm going to give up this world, I'm going to give up this precious place that I'm in, this heaven-built place that I'm in, and I'm going to come down and be identified with them, no matter what they are, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. I'm going to identify myself with them. Oh, you see that? So you see, God can see the future. He can tell the future. He knows the future. He looked at it before and still chose me anyhow. He chose you anyhow. He looked at us and said, you know what? I know people say that they don't do all the right things that they're supposed to do. They don't really study how they're supposed to do. They don't really eat how they're supposed to eat. But I'm going to choose them to be my people anyway. And I don't, if that doesn't strike a chord in you, I don't know what will. You see, because I remember the story of Hosea, and I'm almost done. He had got done with a Bible study. You remember that, brother? Hosea got done with a Bible study, and God says, hey, go get your wife. Now understand, Gomer is a woman who has her name, if I can be a little, her name is on the bathroom stalls, on the walls of every bathroom stall, because she didn't choose her profession correctly, if I can say that. She was quite a promiscuous woman. Amen? and here it is. So God says to Hosea, after getting done with the Bible study, hey, go get your wife. And Gomer's like, what? Go get who? She left me a long time ago, Lord. I thought you were the God who knows all things. You didn't know that? God says, go bid for your wife. Now understand, see how God is? He doesn't care what you're doing. He knows that if he can get you back in his realm, he can work with you. You see, and he says, go get your wife. And so when Hosea goes to get her, she's in the hospital having another baby that he knows is not his. So he walks up to the, and this is just a modern term, he walks into the hospital, he looks at the baby, and he goes, it's not my nose. That's definitely not my face. And those ain't my lips. I don't know whose baby that is, but that's not my baby. And if you really study the text, the baby's name is what? Leruhamah. Do you know what that means in English language? It's not my baby. You see, we have disgraced God so much in our own ways. Huh? We have disgraced God in all the things that, some of the things that we've done in front of the whole nation. But he still chooses us anyhow. Yes, he still chooses us anyhow. Despite what we've done, despite where we are, despite where we're going, he chooses us anyhow. My brothers and sisters, wow, what a word. You see, and then in John, and this is where I'm ending. John 14, 1 through 3, God says, listen to me. Let not your heart be troubled. Who was he talking to? Who? He was talking to us, but there was somebody physically he was talking to too. The disciples, yes. One in particular, he was talking to Peter. He says, let not your heart be troubled. See, because Peter was going through an issue where he thought that God, you know, because they understand the context, they were trying to fight over who was the most special one that was going to be in the kingdom. And Peter had messed up so much and he had denied Jesus 3 times. And he said, Lord, I would never do that to you. But did he do it? Yes, he did. And he was so guilt-ridden that when God saw him sitting down on the stool, he says, hey, Peter, let not your heart be troubled. And that's the kind of God that we serve. Even when we desecrate what he has taught us, what we've done, God says, listen, I can still work with you. Let not your heart be troubled, because I have chosen you. And if I have chosen you, then you are with me. You are with me. Oh my goodness. You see, if you believe in God, also believe in me. You know, I have my house or many mansions. If they were not so, I wouldn't tell you. Let not your heart be troubled. Peter, I know you're going to mess up. I know you're going to do things that is not correct. Let not your heart be troubled. Huh? See, he says, I'm going to prepare for you a place anyway. I already know what you're going to do. I already know what you have done. Let not your heart be troubled. See, I don't know where our destination is after we leave here, but our destination should be whenever we are ready and willing to give our lives to Christ, that we are going to be bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? Because I am bound for the promised land. Huh? God is so good to us. He does so much for us. Even when we don't even recognize what he has done, he does it for us. When we mess up, he still fixes it for us. But there is a consequence. But he still loves us anyhow. That he will get us out of the mess that we're in, that we're about to go into. Understand, in these days and times, we have to trust in the God with all our hearts and all our minds. We have to trust in God with everything that we have, because don't you want to be bound for the promised land? Amen? I just want to say thank you for allowing me to speak a word here today. I hope that you were blessed in some way, form, or fashion. I'm going to close out in prayer. Is that okay? Amen. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we trust in you, dear Lord, and we know that today that you have chosen us to be a special people unto you, dear Lord. And I know that in this world there are people who will desecrate us because we have made mistakes, that we have done things that are not correct in their eyes, dear Lord. But I thank you that even though we are not perfect beings, dear Lord, you still choose us anyhow. And I want to thank you, Father, for all who have come here today. Dear Lord, I ask that you would bless their travels, bless them and their families, and just be with us all, dear Lord. And help us, dear Lord, that when you choose us, Father, that we choose you too. Dear Lord, help us in our walk with you today. Father, this is my humble prayer I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.